Good morning. Welcome to Raising Connections. I'm Ray Shanmayer, the program where we talk about our critters, our companions, our commerce and agriculture, and all the connections in between them. This morning's program, we talk about a difficult subject, farmer suicide. The rates of commodities and income within the farming community has reached an all-time low, comparable to the 1980s when so much farm aid, if you remember those programs, and loss of farmers and land. With the suicide rates being three times the normal population, American farmers are having difficulties. Today we're going to talk with Ron Pilling about what's being done and are you a farmer at risk? Good morning. Welcome to Raising Connections. I'm Ray Shanmayer. Thank you for joining us. This is the program where we talk about our critters, companions, commerce, and agriculture and all of the connections between them. This morning we've got Ron Pilling with us. Am I saying that right? Is it Pilling?
Yeah, that's correct.
Ron Pilling. Okay, we've got Ron Pilling with us this morning, and we're talking about a difficult subject, but a very, very, very important subject. Suicide, farmer suicide, and young teen suicide. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Rayshan. Thank you very much for having me, for talking with me this morning.
This is a topic that I don't think folks realize that there's maybe they don't need to realize, but I think we should bring it to their attention that they do need to realize this. The farms in our area are family generational farms, and the rates of suicide amongst the farmers is quite astounding these days.
That's correct. And it's not just your neighborhood out in Western Maryland. I'm here on behalf of the Jesse Klump Suicide Awareness and Prevention Program. And we operate in the lower three counties on the eastern shore, just about as far east as you can go in Maryland and not be in the Atlantic Ocean.
Uh-huh.
Many of your listeners will think of Worcester County as Ocean City. But if you fly over the Somerset, Worcester, and Wacomico counties on the lower eastern shore and you look down, most of what you see is either green or farm fields. So we live in a rural community that I suspect is much like the community, the ag communities in Western Maryland.
As I stopped at Dunkin' Donuts this morning, I shouldn't say Dunkin' Donuts on the air, but that's where I stopped this morning because our McDonald's was closed. I got my cup of coffee and came on in, and sitting right there were the folks in their work jackets getting their cup of coffee, talking about is it going to snow on Friday and how much ice are we going to get, and those communities are the same everywhere.
Yeah, they are. As a matter of fact, we did. We're here talking this morning about a new campaign that we started down here last fall called Save a Sure Farmer. And as you said, it addresses the skyrocketing rates of farm suicide. Part of this campaign is distributing printed material. We have a trifold brochure that gently talks about farmer suicide. We take it everywhere we know that farmers hang out, and of course, the local McDonald's. And the local diners are among those places.
Absolutely. How did you come into this? What is your background, and how did you get involved with this really a very important work?
Well, I, like most people who come into the suicide prevention community, we do so because of a personal experience, either having been suicidal or having lost someone close to them to suicide. I'm from Baltimore City. My wife and I spent 30 years of our life in downtown Baltimore in an historic home. Most of the time that we had a house in Worcester County near Ocean City. I retired nearly 20 years ago now, and at that time we chose to spend the rest of our lives here on the water.
What did you retire from?
I was a salesman in Baltimore City. I sold computer gear, computer supplies. I designed computer output systems.
So this was completely different.
As far from farming as you can possibly get.
Well, I don't know. We did an interview with a gentleman who has a dairy farm that's a robotically operated milker machine. Those are kind of related.
Well, yeah, they are. Now, I might say that when I started in the business, we were still punching holes in computer cards to get data in and out of computers. So I retired, I'm afraid, a little bit before the robotic generation.
So you and my mother would have lots to talk about. She kept telling us the original computers were the player pianos.
Player pianos and fabric mills.
Yes.
Used toward some of the original computer card uses. Anyway, we're kind of veering from
the topic. We are veering. So your background.
So I came down here, and for years, one of my hobbies has been restoring small boats. canoes and mostly wooden boats, canoes and kayaks, building small boats, sailing and paddling small boats. So after we retired and came down here, I took a summer job at the Pocomoke River Canoe Company in Snow Hill, Maryland, which is right on the banks of the prettiest river on the eastern shore, the Pocomoke River. Not long after that, a young man came to work for us in the summer. He was 14, Jesse Klump, likely Jesse's first real job and my last real job. And Jesse and I hit it off. And then in 2009, when Jess was a senior at Snow Hill High School, he made the very unfortunate and tragic decision to take his own life. He was 17 years old at the time.
That's so young.
It turns out, being a good salesman has lots of valuable skills for the nonprofit business. Mostly salesmen aren't afraid to ask for money, right?
Absolutely, and take no for an answer and come back.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So shortly after Jesse's death, in fact, within days, his mom, our president, Kim Klump, opened a checking account called the Jesse Klump Memorial Scholarship Fund. And we've started as a scholarship fund. We still grant an annual scholarship to a graduate of Snow Hill High School. That was in March of 2009. Less than 2 years later, we began the Jesse Klump Suicide Awareness and Prevention Program. And we did that with the recognition that at the time there was no active youth suicide prevention group working down here in a rural area where historically suicide rates are high.
Just as an aside, and I know we'll get into some of this a little bit later, but why would the rates of suicide be higher in somewhere that you perceive it to be less stressful than in some place that, to me, urban areas are more stressful? There's more things going on, more things moving, and more balls to keep in the air than some place that is bucolic.
Right. On the surface, you would think of that, but think about the people who live in rural areas versus the people who live in urban and suburban areas. And we could think in particular about top occupations down here, farming, watermen, forestry workers. They tend to be fiercely independent. They tend to have grown up in an environment of emotional restraint. Men in particular are taught to keep their emotions to themselves, to man up, to tough up when something happens.
Oh, yes.
Plus, in rural areas, access to health care, while there is plenty of health care available down here in Worcester County, thanks to the Worcester County Health Department and others, access is still not as good as it is in the city. Where we lived in the city, almost any neighborhood in Baltimore, you can walk to the nearest emergency room.
Okay.
Down here, if you live in Stockton or Girdle Tree or Captain's Cove or in Accomack County, Virginia, it could be a chore to get to a local hospital. So access is not as easy. And the third and big issue, especially when you consider that men are much more successful at suicide, if you can use the word successful.
Right.
As women, the rate of firearm ownership in rural areas like ours is much, much higher than the rate of firearm ownership at Golden Division Street in West Baltimore City.
Absolutely. So in a rural area, the firearm ownership is one of those things. And by no way are we making a comment on gun ownership, one way or the other. But women typically use different methods. So what are women methods versus men methods?
Women typically use less lethal means, which is why they luckily survive attempts more often. They'll pharmaceutical products is the typical, the overdose pharmaceutical products that they have in the house. They'll cut. In fact, among young women, cutting and other self-harm is often an indication of suicidality down the road. So women tend to use means that, after they do it, their first thought could be, oh, this was a big mistake, and they have time to reverse it.
And where men are more lethal. And
right,
they,
when you pull the trigger,
you're
there's
done.
No going back, you know. When you leap off the Golden Gate Bridge, except
there's
in
done.
Rare instances, there's no going back from that leap. In rare instances, you'll survive, but typically with a firearm, you don't. And, you know, we talked last night about this, Rayshan. This is not a topic, firearm ownership, that's easy for us to address down here because there is a culture of hunting. plays a very big role. We don't preach in the suicide prevention community, we don't preach get rid of your guns, that guns are evil, that guns are awful. We do urge people, if there's a suicidal position, a situation in their house, if there is depression in their house, if there is PTSD in their household, to secure these firearms to the utmost. A Harvard study about, I guess it's been about 4 or 5 years ago, concluded that one of the most surefire means to disable a suicidal crisis is to remove the access, remove the means of suicide.
That makes sense, and it makes it even harder when protecting part of your livestock may mean putting down the rabid groundhog. That's a really hard one to go there and address, because it is a tool of the trade to keep everything safe, but it's also a means to an end if that's a decision that a person is going down that road with.
Yes.
Tough subject.
This program, I'm sorry.
Tough subject.
We're talking about Save a Sure Farmer. The Jesse Klump Suicide Awareness and Prevention Program is the lead agency on this. We were fortunate enough to receive a grant from the Rural Maryland Council. This is a mouthful, a Maryland Agricultural Educational Rural Development Assistance Fund grant.
Goodness.
It's finances about three-quarters of this. The program, our nonprofit program, is part of a group called the Suicide Prevention Coalition, serving the Lower Eastern Shore. That's a group of nonprofits like us, counseling services, health departments, hospitals, some private behavioral health professionals, schools, anybody on the Lower Eastern Shore who has any remote connection to suicide prevention and mental health work.
And getting the word out there.
Yes.
Getting the word out there. Yes.
Yeah. That is the main purpose of this particular campaign. I don't believe there's another campaign in the state of Maryland like it that addresses farmer suicide, farm worker suicide, ag community suicide. To make people aware of the fact that farmers are 3.4 times more likely to die by suicide than all the rest of us. That's from a CDC study that Centers for Disease Control that was released about a year ago. And to teach them to recognize the risk factors and warning signs. It might lead anyone, but the particular risk factors and warning signs that are ag-related, they might lead someone to consider taking their own lives.
Are there warning signs, and we'll go through these in the next segment, but are there warning signs for an agricultural worker or the farm owner different than signs for someone else?
Many of the signs are similar. But in the case of farmers, there are specific signs that that are much more closely related to their occupation. If there's a change in routine,
when we come back, let's start going through this when we come back, because I think we're really going to get involved in that one. Okay, we'll be back in just a moment talking about farmer suicide this morning.
Okay.